This is Twit.
Certainly, one of the big points that was being discussed by Samsung, particularly who in sort of developed this, was what's called HDR10 Plus. Now, HDR10, which is the high dynamic range format used on Ultra HD Blu-ray, almost exclusively. A couple of examples, a couple of counterexamples now, but primarily that's what it is. And also a lot of streaming and so on. This is going to get pretty geeky here, but that we're all geeks on this bus. They use what's called metadata because they have to be able to tell the display what was the brightest thing in this movie and what was the sort of max average of this movie. But they only have one piece of information for each of those for the entire movie or TV show or whatever. What Samsung is, and that causes some problems. And in fact, I wanted to show what the problems were, those being HDR10 tone mapping. Let's start with that. And I'm moving pretty fast here. And we can see that if the peak of the display is 500 nits, but the maximum brightness of the mastering was 1,000, then the TV's got to roll it off. If the maximum brightness of the mastering was 2,000 nits, it's got to roll it off faster, more. And so the picture generally ends up being dimmer. If we go to HDR10 STM1, we can see what happens with static tone mapping, where you can design this tone mapping curve, which tells the TV what to do with stuff that's brighter than it can do. You can set it up so that you can preserve the dark stuff and the mid-tone stuff, but the bright stuff gets oversaturated. Or you can do it the other way with HDR STM2, and you can preserve the bright parts and the mid-tones, but then the dim scenes look too dim. Their answer is what's called dynamic metadata and dynamic tone mapping, which is HDR10 DTM. And that lets you use different tone mapping curves for dark scenes, mid-tones, and bright scenes. And in other words, preserves everything, no matter what your TV is capable of doing versus what the mastering display was capable of doing. And that's one of the real challenges of HDR, of high dynamic range, is Joe, you talked about this in your presentation. You know, in SDR, when we were in the past with CRTs and standard dynamic range, everything worked the same. Mastering monitors, presumably, mastering monitors, consumer displays, the content all was supposed to match. Now with HDR, you've got so many different capabilities, TVs that can reach a few hundred nits, TVs that can reach 1,000 nits, TVs that can reach almost 2,000 nits, as in the Samsung Q series, versus what do they do on the mastering display? Though those are different too, 1,000 to 4,000 nits. So how do you deal with the fact that now the capabilities are different from one TV to the next, from one mastering monitor to the next, from one piece of content to the next? Joe, you dealt with this pretty well in your particular address there.
Well, I dealt with it in one way. A comment that I want to make just based on what you're saying is we just do away with PQ. I recognize that it's supposed to be much more efficient at a it's much more efficient in the way it handles the bit depth that's available to the signal, but the description of what you just gave us was we have a fixed curve for producing a program, and we're trying to play it back on a variable system. So we're actually trying to figure out how to make fixed variable. Mm. And this actually has nothing to do with the presentation I did, but I wanted just to take forward what you're discussing directly and say, one of the things that bothers me about PQ is that we can't do it. That OLED can't do it. PQ is supposed to be all the way out to 10,000 nits. Well, there's nothing that does 10,000 nits, but there's some stuff that's mastered at 4,000 nits. And why is it being mastered at 4,000 nits when there aren't displays out there that go above 2,000 nits? I'm going to say 2,000 because that's probably the upper limit of consumers. So why are we even mastering on an absolute curve when there is absolutely nothing out there that can reproduce it?
By the way, just to make sure, that everybody understands, PQ that you're referring to stands for a perceptual quantizer. It's basically a curve developed by Dolby, now standardized by SMPTE, that tells the TV if you get a pixel that's supposed to be a certain brightness, you know, play it at that brightness. So the curve is slightly different than what we've used up till now, called gamma. And it's as Joe says, absolute. That means every point along the curve represents a specific brightness in nits, or candelas per meter squared, to use the more correct term. Whereas gamma is what's called relative, so it goes from zero to one. So whatever the TV can do, it follows it. Whereas PQ is absolute, and this is what we use mostly for HDR these days. And Joe, you're advocating something pretty radical, which is you think we shouldn't be using it.
Well, I basically it doesn't work as it's put together. And among the things that would tie into the presentation that I did is that we need to have more variability. Now, I'm normally not an advocate of variability. I want everything fixed. I want to know exactly what I'm doing. But that's never going to happen in this world. We've opened up Pandora's box with HDR, with UHD, with wider color gamut, with higher frame rates. Standardization is off the table for what we're doing. And so I actually firmly believe that we have to build a system that will accommodate all of this variability. And that was the presentation that I had done during the seminar. I basically wanted to throw back to a point in time when DCI was variable. In other words, projectors were already going into theaters before standards had been set. So projectors had to be built so that down the road, when we actually did figure out what we were doing, whatever projector was already there, it could be tuned to whatever came about in the new system. And that technology has been employed in consumer products. The projector I have on the market, when the first one, 720p version, came out in 2003, it had the technology to measure itself. Well, you measured it and told the projector what it was, and then you told it what you wanted it to do, and it would calculate the difference. And what you want it to do can come in the form of metadata. So if I suddenly want to do my program at D60, another color of gray, as opposed to D65, I just tell the projector to go to D60. Or if I want it to do Adobe RGB instead of P3, I just tell it set itself up for Adobe RGB. Now, the capability was developed and really put together well for the DCI. And so the technology already exists to do this. And
by the way, that's Digital Cinema Initiative. That's for digital cinema. And Joe, you were talking about putting projectors into commercial cinemas, digital projectors, before the DCI had finalized its specs. And so those projectors had to adapt.
That's correct.